Blog Talk Radio.
And a pleasant good evening to you once again. You're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, MD Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight as we continue to share the Word of God right here on this platform of Blog Talk Radio. We want to, again, just greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that as we gather together in the name of the Lord and we begin to study the Word of God, we know the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word will cut and divide and it will get down into the bone marrow. So we just want you to know that we believe in the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. When we take hold of the Word of God and we begin to do what it says, we will begin to receive what it has spoken over our life. You can declare and decree the Word of God upon your life and on the life of others. And I want you to know that we are just continuing to go forward in praising God and lifting up the name of Jesus, because it is important that as we see the days that we're living in, the time that we're living in, the enemy is constantly at work, and he knows that he has but a short time. You and I have to be vigilant. We have to be on guard, because our adversary, the devil, is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. At any moment, at any time, the devil is trying to catch you slipping. He's trying to catch you in a moment where you are unprepared. If the devil had his choice, he would destroy all of us in a moment. But because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God, God allows you and I to have time to get our lives together so that we may be prepared to meet him. Over in the book of Revelation, there are four angels that are standing in the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west, and they're holding back the winds, that the wind should not blow up on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree, till we have finished sealing the servants of God in their foreheads. The work of God is going forward in the sealing process. God is sealing up his people and preparing them and getting them ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon and very soon, this old earth will rock and reel like a drunk man, and there will be great earthquakes such as was not since man was upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great shall come upon this earth. And the Lord tells us that when we see these things happening, they are the beginning of sorrows. But he wants us to know this, that our redemption is drawing nigh. So we're living in a time just before the end of time. We are going to be granted the opportunity to make our calling and election sure. And though there are men and women who will not or look out for you, or people who are part of your family, sometimes a part of your church family as well, who will try to alter or keep you back or hold you back from doing what God has called you to do, you want to continue to follow in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are going to be expecting that God will do a great and mighty thing tonight as we go forward in the Word of God. Our message for tonight is Fishing Expedition. Fishing Expedition is the title that we're going to be sharing with you tonight. And before we go into our subject tonight, I want you to know that the Bible Coach has had the opportunity to minister with a training ground ministry. God has allowed us to open up a place over in Southwest Fort Worth, and it is a place where we are training people and rooting them and grounding them in the Word of God, preparing them to go out and minister in the community. Well, we've been walking the streets and going door to door, and we've identified several needs that are in the community. There is a spirit of poverty that's in that community. There is hunger. There is homelessness. There are people who are needing jobs. There are there's so much that's going on. There's drugs and alcohol, and there's widows and also children with fathers that are not in the home. So there are a whole lot of dynamics that are in the community. Now, all around this community, there are people who are prospering, but this particular spot seems to have such a blight of poverty that's going on. And God has situated Training Ground Ministries right in the midst of this community so that we may make a difference. However, the resources that the Training Ground Ministry has are limited because of the fact that we are just getting started in that community. But praise be to God, thanks be to God that we have had an opportunity to mix and mingle and to go into the community and find out a lot of things about that community. And so we're calling on you, our listeners, who have been listening to this Blog Talk Radio program, to partner with us because we need some partners. We need some folks who will come up and share a gift, whatever it is that you can give of any size. We would love for you to do so. We are also forming our Gideon 300. Do you know that with 300 people, you can move a whole city with 300 people? Gideon had an army of 300, and they were divided into three parts. And they went up on the edges of the city that they were going to conquer. And God gave them instructions on what to do. And I believe that with 300 mighty men and women of God who are willing to be partners with us in our 300 Gideon team, we can take that community and we can, just go forward as a mighty army and conquer it in the name of Jesus. There are so many types of spirits that have been in that community for many, many years. And it seems as if though there has been a stronghold up on that community for a long time. But I believe that through the power of prayer, that these strongholds can be broken. And I'm calling on this Gideon 300 to be prayer warriors, to go and fight against this thing. And also we're asking you to financially help this ministry so that we can have the resources that we need to address many of the issues that are in that community. You can go to thebiblecoach-traininggroundministry.org and make a donation online. We have a donation tab that's on our website, and you can go and do that. Or you can call me by phone, 817-715-2773, and you can make your donation over the phone, whether you have a credit card or debit card, or if you want to do some other form of payment, you can send it as well. So, but one of the easiest ways is to go online and just donate what you can. And so, again, we're calling on you to become a partner with this ministry because we are training laborers for Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And we're training laborers, people who will go out into the community and address some of those needs, be it from feeding the people, over this weekend, we had a career day, and it was a very great and successful career day. We wish that we had more people involved who could have gotten jobs as well from the community. But again, we're just getting started. We're going to have some more of those types of programs that are coming up because we really want to address the needs of the people in the community. So without further ado, I want to go to God in prayer as we explore our subject tonight. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that you've granted to us to come once again on this platform of Blog Talk Radio to begin to preach and teach your word right here. We pray, God, that your mighty Holy Spirit will come and teach us tonight, give us instructions and wisdom on from on high, that as we speak your word will be understood and the clarity of it will be complete. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and amen. Again, our subject tonight is fishing expedition. Now, from a legal standpoint, this term of fishing expedition oftentimes is associated with some police force or some type of FBI investigation. Oftentimes, from a legal standpoint, they interrogate folks or examine them to discover information for a latter proceeding. They are in an inquiry situation where they are fishing for information, and so they will search and investigate. And oftentimes, when they're doing this, they're undertaking it with the hope that they're going to find something, though they have not stated their purpose of what they're looking for. They're just hoping to discover some information. In an investigation like this, they do not stick to their stated objective. Oftentimes, they're hoping to uncover some incriminating or some newsworthy evidence that's going to come against you. And so why are we talking about this is because we're living in a time where the Lord tells us that all those who live godly shall suffer persecution, and so we're living in a time frame where if you're not careful, you're going to be brought before a court, and you're going to have to answer for the hope that is in you. There are going to be some things that are going to be disparaging. There are going to be some people who are going to investigate you, and it's going to appear like they're not really investigating you because they have not stated the purpose for which they are inquiring about what you're doing. Sermons and messages that we are living in the time where they will call your message a criminal act. Or it will be said to be a message that is full of hatred. And so the time is coming where even your language will have to be guarded as to what you're going to say. Be careful when men set out to undertake a search or investigate you to catch you up with an unstated purpose. The enemy is always at work. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're living in that moment in history, in time. And as we move toward our future, we can expect that more and more the devil is going to work because he knows that he has but a short time. God has even warned us that there are four angels that are standing in the four corners of the earth, north, south, and east, and west. They're holding back the winds. The winds represent strife and war and political upheaval. And every now and then we hear of wars and rumors of wars. We are seeing earthquakes in diverse places. We're seeing all of these things, and there are distress of nations. There are men's hearts are failing them, the Bible says, for fear, for looking after those things that are coming up on the earth. There are people who are having heart attacks because of fear of what's happening in our world. And the question is what are you doing to prepare yourself? It's so oftentimes that in John chapter 21, we're going to look at this thing a little closer of our subject about fishing expedition. Jesus had been crucified, and the time had come now that Jesus was about to address his disciples. The time is coming now that Jesus has to help them to understand what his mission was and to convey to them what their future work would be. And so oftentimes there is a danger for us to return back to what we have been called out of. And so in John chapter 21, it says, after these things, verse 1, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. And there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They had returned back to their old fishing days. They went on a fishing expedition to find some fish, and they fished all night, but they caught nothing. And this is the latter part of after they had spent 3.5 years with Jesus on the earth, and Jesus had taught them what their mission was going to be, yet they were like sheep that was scattered because Jesus told them that they were going to smite the shepherd and the sheep would be scattered. And so now this has taken place, and they all are scattered, but they've come together now to go back to doing what they had already been accustomed to doing before they were called out. And there is a danger for you and I that if we have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light, that God has called you and I to on a divine appointment to set forth his word to those that are lying in darkness. As you have come out of darkness and come into the light, God says that I want you to show forth the light. You are the light of the world. You are the city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid, that you are to bring the light to those who are lying in darkness. And so therefore, I'm calling you to partner with us in this ministry, Training Ground Ministry, so that you and I together might, that is crumbling, that is dying, that is seemingly in a situation where they cannot get up out of that poverty-stricken situation. And God commands that the children of God will go out into the highways, into the hedges, and to compel man to come in that his house may be full. And we have gotten so in the house of God, and we have become so accustomed to just worshiping and building worship centers, and all of our activities are centered around in the house. But yet there are people that are lying in the streets all around your house, and they are in the streets needing some assistance, needing some people to come in and rescue them out of the jaws of the sinful world that we're living in, out of the belly of the enemy. God is calling for you and I to make our calling and election sure. And so it's a danger for us to not to be about our Father's business, but to be so caught up in the church house that we cannot get out of the building and go and see about anybody in our community. The Bible tells us to go, but for some reason or another, we have told the people to come to us. But God is commanding the church of the living God to go out, compel men to come in. That means you have God has an expectation of you that you are going to learn what you need to learn in the church and then move out into the community and speak his word in the ears of those who will hear and come into the house. So we've got a mission. And so here Peter in verse 3 says, says unto them, I go a-fishing. I go a-fishing. There are people who are needing Peter, who are needing the disciples. Christ is needing them to continue his work, but they have decided to go back to doing what they've already done, they was always had done before Christ, and that was fishing. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, Matthew, the fourth chapter, and looking at verse number 18. Yes, is that? Yeah, Matthew chapter 4, and looking at verse number 18. And the word of the Lord says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So here is the call of Peter and his brother Andrew. Christ says that, look, I want to call you out of your professional job that you're doing right now as a fisherman. I want to make you to become fishers of men. There is an expedition that I want you to go on with me. It is a fishing expedition that's going to last for 3.5 years. You're going to go through the cities of Jerusalem and Canaan and Capernaum and Galilee and Samaria and Bethlehem and Nazareth. You're going to be traveling from place to place, because you are going to be learning how to fish for men. There are going to be all types and all kinds, with all sorts of troubles and all sorts of issues, and there are going to be sick people, blind people, lame people, people that can't talk. They're going to be dumb. They're going to have headaches. They're going to be all sorts of different types of men and women that you are going to come in contact with, and you're going to have to be able to address all of their intricate needs. And you're going to have to use the right kind of equipment in order to catch these particular kinds of fish. And so you're going to need different types of tackles and different types of rods in order to cast the net and cast the rod in the right place, so that you might draw in a great harvest of fish. And so Jesus tells them, in the beginning of their ministry, that, look, I want you to become fishers of men. But now we see that they have left from becoming fishers of men, going back to what they were doing in the beginning, and that was fishing for fish. God is saying to them that I want to make you fishers of men. And please understand that you are always in danger, if you are not careful, with the call that God has come to bring to your life, that if you're not careful, you will stumble. You will begin to move away from what God has called you to do. And there are some who know you ought to be doing the will of God, but yet you have allowed life to switch you and change you into a different direction from where God has called you. And you've returned back to doing the things that you know you ought not be doing. When God called you out, you were on a divine assignment. You were an ambassador for Christ. You were called out to accomplish a particular thing that he has put in your heart. You have a ministry that you must complete, an assignment that you must do and you must finish. And there are going to be people who will come up and they will have a particular assignment to stop you. And over in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, Matthew, the 21st chapter, we find some very interesting occurring. When Christ was here, Christ had told a parable of two sons in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 21, and then he tells a parable of the wicked husbandman. And And in verse 45 of chapter 21 of Matthew, it says, "And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet." There will be people who are going to think to lay hands on you, but because you are on divine appointment and divine assignment, they can't touch you right now, because you have not finished the course for which God has called you to complete. And therefore, even though the enemy wants to take you out at the moment, he cannot touch you right now, because you have not finished your assignment. The problem sometimes comes is that when you stop walking with God and you stop operating in the thing that he's called you to do, and you begin to go back to the place where you have been called out of, pleased with you returning to doing the thing that he called you out from. And so please know, he's going to come for you. Wherever you are, God is going to come for you, and he's going to deal with you. And so as we make the transition, Jesus is sharing with them a whole lot of things. And Matthew chapter 22, he speaks of the parable of the marriage of the feast, and then we get to verse 15 of Matthew chapter 22, and this is where this thing gets into our subject. In verse number 15, it says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk." This is this fishing expedition. They were on course with trying to find out, what can we do to catch up Jesus in his speech, in his talk? Every message that he is about to share, we are going to look for some kind of way to entangle him in his words and try to trap him so that we can put him in a position where we can lay hands on him. Oh, my friend, I want you to know, the day is going to come when everything that loves God is going to be tried, it's going to be tested. All of those who shall live godly shall be persecuted. And so here's the time that we're reaching, where there are going to be men who think that they are doing the service of God by eliminating you. And so they're going to take counsel with each other. They're going to come into agreement with each other. You know, there are some people will come into agreement with each other for a cause of evil, even if they don't even like each other. They will come into counsel with each other and begin to figure out a way that they can get rid of that spiritual lighthouse that is in their city. And so it says in verse 16, "And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the persons of men." In other words, Jesus, we know that you're a great teacher and all of that. Hey, it's been demonstrated that you are a great teacher. But now, you know, we have taken counsel with each other. Now, the Herodians and the Pharisees are not ones who really together. But upon this occasion, they have come together, they have taken counsel against Jesus, and they says, "Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" And Jesus is hearing their words, and he is looking at what they're saying. Brothers and sisters, God has called you to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but you have to be slow to speak and be swift to hear, because if you're not careful, the enemy will try to catch you up and entangle you in your words. But God told you that, hey, look, in that hour, I will give you a mouth to speak. And so Jesus is demonstrating to his disciples on how to handle yourself when you are under pressure by some who have tried to trap you and entangle you in your words. He says, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Oh, I like Jesus, because Jesus just come right out and tell you where you are. Where you see, you're trying to entrap me, but I'm going to call you out and expose you before all of the people, so that all of the people will know what manner of spirit that you're coming against me with. He says, you are hypocrites. And then he goes on to say, show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is this image and subscription? They said unto him, Caesar. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And boy, look at what they said. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Oh, my friend, Jesus knows how to take a question and answer it in such a profound way that not gainsay the word of God. You cannot overcome the words of God. But heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall last forever and ever. And you can say ever into the morning, and it won't be long enough. The word of God is going to stand fast forever. And so you can stand upon this word, because it's, and so soon as Jesus had finished with the Pharisees, this day ain't over yet. Verse 23 says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had her, married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Boy, I tell you, they thought they had Jesus on the fence. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, there are people who are skillful who will sit back and they will go on this fishing expedition to try to entrap you and entangle you in your words. And they are carefully crafting how they may come against you. Satan is always up to something, and he will utilize people who have skill and knowledge, those who think on a different level. Sometimes, if you really want to look at it, some of our politicians and are skilled in the and communicating to people, and they drop little lines of words, and they twist things and entangle things and make you think that they are all of that when they're really not, and they speak smooth words, and satanic forces are behind everything that they're doing, and God is saying to the body of Christ, you need to be on your P's and Q's. You need to be up on what I'm about so that you might understand how to deal with the enemy. He says, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And when the enemy came up against you, the Bible says he stumbled and he failed. He stumbled because he could not stand on the same footing that you are on. And he failed because he could not stand in your presence. The enemy doesn't like you. He doesn't want to be around you too long because he fears that something may happen and that you may redeem somebody out of his hands. So the enemy is constantly trying to fight you and war against you because he knows that you are a danger to his kingdom. He knows that you can snatch people out of the fire and began to pour into them and allow the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, to take hold of them, that they be not consumed. And so here, this devil tries to help, try to entrap Jesus. And Jesus says, as he answers them, he says, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." And this is where the false teaching and false imprisonment and false entanglement comes, is because there are people who have erred against the word of God and against the power of God. They have not recognized the power of God, and they do not recognize the word of God. And brothers and sisters, if you are not careful, you who are part of the body of Christ, you will begin to ever learn, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You will be searching all your days out, or you will have this situation where Christ says, now is the time for the true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. But we are living in a time where there are a lot of people who have a lot of truth, but they have no spirit. And there are those who are spirited, but they have no truth. And the last day characteristics of the people of God is that they're going to not only have truth, but they are going to also have the spirit. So God is saying that true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. And these Pharisees and Sadducees, they were taught the truth, but they had bent the truth, and now they are operating in a lie, and they're operating in hypocrisy, and they're trying to maintain their status quo, because they have this young Galilean, Jesus Christ, who has come, and he's putting them to shame with all of their foolish talking and all of their foolish trappings. And so he says, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, for is in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? God is not a God of the dead, but of the living." Brothers and sisters, God says that he is a God of the living. He is not the God of the dead. And so he looks at even those saints who are sleeping in the dust of the ground. He sees them as only asleep, that one day he will come, wake them up out of their sleep. And so in verse 33 it says, "And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine." Or they were astonished at the doctrine of Jesus. But when the Pharisees, verse 34, had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Oh, my friends, I tell you, they wasn't through yet. They kept gathering together. They kept counseling with each other. These are folks that don't normally get together, but they are together now on one accord to fight against Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is tearing them up with the word of God. He is whooping their head left and right. All of their schemes and all of their plotting against Jesus is failing them right now. And so now Jesus has put them to silence. Here comes a lawyer. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the greatest great commandment in the world?" Oh, my friends, here comes a lawyer who is tempting Jesus. He has put to shame the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, and now here comes a lawyer, and he is trying to get Jesus caught up now from a legal point of view. And so he asked him a question, which is the greatest of the commandments. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. And I tell you, my friends, after Jesus had spoken that, the lawyer was without any words to speak and to say. Isn't it amazing that when you know that you know what God has called you to do, and no matter who comes against you, that you must stand flat-footed upon the word of God and stand solid as a rock, because he has called you personally out of your situation and out of your place so that he may take you to another level in him. And so here, these are the things that you have to look at. So in verse 22, they were on this fishing expedition. They were trying to catch Jesus. They were investigating Jesus. They were trying to discover some information. They were trying to discover something incriminating upon Jesus so that they could inform and start a proceeding that would begin to cause him to be crucified. But Jesus had already told them that no man taketh my life, I lay it down. Jesus was manifested for the purpose of going to the cross. Jesus was manifested for the purpose of saving us from our sins. Jesus was manifested so that he might redeem us by his own blood. And so it was Jesus' turn to ask a question. And so in verse 41, he says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, I got a question for you guys. Since y'all been questioning me all day long, then I've got a question for you. And so we're going to put this question to you and see if you can answer this. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. Oh, my friends, Jesus is about to whoop them with a good word. He says, and he said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. David didn't call him Lord. How is he his son? And watch this, it says, and no man was able to answer him a word, neither thus they that any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. The day Jesus had shut them all up, they were not able to ask him any more questions. He had put them to silence. This is how, when you know the word of God, when you are living the word of God, when you are operating in the purpose for which God has called you, the devil in hell cannot defeat you because you are standing on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. God will give you a mouth to speak that will shut your enemy's face. They will not be able to say anything else to you. And so, Jesus, on his journey to his destination, I want you to know that people are going to question you. In Luke chapter 20 and verse number 2, and it says, and he spake unto him, saying, tell us, by what authority does thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? One of the things that people will come to the conclusion of is that they cannot defeat you oftentimes. They will want to know by what authority you do these things. Who gave you the right to do what you do? And so... there's always going to be a question about your authority when you are on divine appointment, when you're on divine assignment for God. Somebody is going to question your authority of why you feel like you have been commissioned of God to do what you do. They're going to try to sidetrack you with this question of what and by what authority do you this thing? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? But, and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. So here again, Jesus puts them to shame. They were conniving about this thing, and they come and they confront Jesus because, see, Jesus was preaching and teaching in the synagogues, and they felt like that you didn't have no right to come preaching in nobody's church. Amen. You don't have the authority. We didn't give you no authority to come and preach in our synagogues and in our churches. And so they thought that they would perhaps try to discourage Jesus or to bring him to shame by telling him, by what authority do ye these things? And Jesus was so smooth, as he has always been, to answer their question. In John chapter 7, not only will they question your authority, but they will oftentimes question your education. In John chapter 7, in verse 15, it says, and the Jews marveled, saying, how this man letters, having never learned? In other words, this man is teaching in our synagogues and in our churches, and he doesn't have any letters behind his name. He isn't a PhD. He has no master's degree. He hasn't a bachelor's degree. He didn't have any of those things. He didn't go to anybody's college. And we don't know why he is trying to carry on as if though he has some kind of authority or that he has some education. Where did this man learn from? What school did he go to? How is he able to accomplish all of these things that he do? We want to know, by what authority does he these things? And then how is he able to speak like he do, having no letters behind his name? How does he know his alphabets? Because we didn't teach him. He didn't come to our schools. He didn't come to our seminary. He didn't come to our schools of the prophets. He didn't come by way of any of those. We didn't give him no endorsement. We didn't ordain him. We didn't make him no elder. We didn't make him nobody. But here he comes on the scene, and he's operating as if though he has some authority. He is operating as if though he is so wise with all of his knowledge and wisdom. Where did he get all of that stuff from? You want to know, where did you come from? Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Oh, my friends, if you hear the doctrine and it lines up with the word of God, and it is the word of God, then why are you questioning that individual about what authority they do these things? If that person is speaking under the anointing of the Spirit of God, then why are you questioning where is his letters behind his name? Jesus says that my doctrine is not my own. Everything that I've learned, I learned it from my Father. Everything that I've been taught, my Father has taught me. I want you to know that the Holy Ghost teach you something that the men cannot teach you, that only in the Spirit. Paul says that I'm an apostle, not of men, but of Christ. He learned his things from Christ. everything that he was taught, he learned under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit led him through the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the Spirit will lead us into all truth, and we can know the truth, and we can know the doctrine, Jesus says, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. And this is how he defines this thing. He says that he that seeketh his, that he that speaketh of himself, he seeketh his own glory. There are many men who will stand in the pulpit, and it will be all about them. It has nothing to do with Christ. It's all about what they want and what their needs are, and they cannot see the needs of anybody else but their own, and they are hirelings. The Bible calls them hirelings who care not about the sheep. They only care about what they can do. They were fleecing the sheep and taking from the sheep, and only for their own ungodly gain. And so God is saying that, look here, I need you to feed my sheep. I need you to feed my sheep and feed my lambs. My lambs are hungry. They are needing something from me. And you'll know this doctrine, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself speaketh of his own glory. And he says, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why do you go about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the Father. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If any man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And then said to him of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? So Jesus had already told them that, hey, you are seeking to kill him. And I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, that when they are on these fishing expeditions, they will try to kill you. Kill your reputation, kill your desire to go forward in Christ. They will kill everything that they possibly can about you. If not physically, they will try to kill you. Brothers and sisters, you better hold fast the profession of your faith and cling unto God, because the enemy will oftentimes, when you're on your divine appointment, he will cause you to try to stumble at the promise of God. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness because they stumbled at the promise of God. God told them to go forward, and they didn't go forward, so they stumbled at the promise. When you stumble at the promise, it costs you time, and that time oftentimes can never be recovered. And not only that, brothers and sisters, they again will question your authority, they will question your education, and then finally, here's another thing that they will do in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 4. Mark the 6th chapter and verse number 4. This is the very thing that they will do. They will question your authority. They will question your education. And they will question even your ground. In verse 1 of Mark chapter 6, it says, and he went out of the house from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which he has given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? And so here again, they're questioning, how is it that Jesus is able to do all of these things? How has he been furnished with so much wisdom? And how is he able to operate on this level? Because, again, he has not come to our schools. He has not been appropriately ordained by anybody. No man has laid no hands on him, and we don't know why he's out here preaching in these churches and doing all these things and healing the sick and raising the dead and opening up the eyes of the blind. We don't know why he's doing all of this, where he came from, and how did he get here. And then they will question your calling, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and of Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They were offended at Jesus for operating in the gift that God has called him to operate in. They were offended at the fact that he had healed the sick. They were offended that he was operating as a prophet. They were offended at all of his teachings and everything that he could have done for them. They were offended at it. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin in his own house. So not only will they question your authority and your education, they will try to affiliate you with your background, and they will judge you and cast you down as unworthy and not having any honor in your own house, because they won't associate you with what we knew you as before. And so the danger is that oftentimes when people go on these fishing expeditions to try to investigate you and find out how to interrogate you to formulate some kind of company against you, God is trying to tell you and I that you better hold fast fashion of your faith and cling to him and operate in his will and his purpose against all of the odds, against all of the demonic spirits and demonic activity that is coming against you. You better hold fast the profession of your faith and cling to him. And Jesus says, and he could there do no mighty works save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. So Jesus couldn't do no great miracles in that place because he was not accepted. And I want you to know that the time is going to come when you are not going to be accepted by men, but you have already been accepted in the beloved. According to Ephesians, Christ has accepted you for who you are even before the foundation of the world. He has established you. He has chosen you. He has called you out. He has put you on the divine appointment, and he calls you to move in this gifting that he has equipped you with, and he wants you to accomplish and finish the work and the divine assignment that he has given to you. And nobody can do your assignment for you. You can only do the assignment that God has called you to accomplish. And so he tells you and I to make full proof of your ministry and to make your calling and election sure. And so this is what I leave with you today. When men start their fishing expedition against you, they question your authority, your education, your background, your affiliation, and all of those things, you must hold fast to what God has done and called you to do. Please, my brothers and sisters, keep on doing what God has called you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone who has had their authority questioned, who has had their education questioned, their background and their affiliation, God, I pray right now that you would seal their hearts up in you, that your spirit shall flow in and upon them, that you would continue to keep them by your power, and that you will work your work in them until they finish their assignment so that we can all go home and live with you forever and ever. And so we pray this choice blessings upon your people, and we pray that you would anoint them to do what you have called them to do. Help us to be true worshipers, that we'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and we will live in harmony with you until you come. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, my friends, and thank you for tuning in. And we are just praising God and blessing God again. Please don't forget to go on our website at the BibleCoach-TrainingGroundMinistry.org and make your donation. We have much work to accomplish in the community for which our ministry is located, and we're needing resources, we're needing help, we're needing folks like you that will partner with us, become a part of the Gideon 300, and we believe that through that mighty number of 300, we're going to turn that particular city and area upside down with the Word of God. So help us to accomplish that purpose, but we ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you.